Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
If you build it, he will.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowell.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We've got all kinds of hoops to talk about, right? College hoops upsets last night. Number one, number two go down. And a kind of a familiar name back in the spotlight in college basketball with one of those upsets. It's kind of a weird... kind of weird symbiotic night, right? Fred Hoiberg out of nowhere is back with Nebraska. What? How in the hell is he not the coach at Iowa State and always the coach at Iowa State?
Should have never
left. What happened?
He should have never left.
I mean, I get why he's not, but that just doesn't make...
the glitz and glamour of the Bulls. I get that too.
God, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Fred Hoiberg should be the coach at Iowa State. He's not, so we'll have to deal with that, but he got Nebraska... an upset of Purdue last night, number one Purdue, and then also speaking of Iowa State, Hilton Magic was in full effect as Kelvin and the boys from Houston knocked off by Iowa State Cyclones. Big 12, man. It's just hard.
You never know. You never know.
There's no – I mean, one of the worst teams, unfortunately, in the Big 12 is probably Oklahoma State, and they should have beaten Baylor,
right?
Who's a top 20 team on Saturday.
So right.
It's going to be a wild – I mean, it's just hard. It's a really hard conference. Thunder finish up their four-game road trip tonight in Miami. Talk about that, kind of where they set after a couple of losses that popped up, then got things righted with the win at Washington on Monday. We were going to have Coach Doherty – tomorrow, he's got something popped up on his schedule tomorrow. So, head coach Jeff Doherty, the Merritt Oilerettes, will be here today, 9:30. We'll got a bunch of stuff to kind of bounce off of him. I love to the birth of Frank Teague stuff with the way his team responded down there, and you know, there's all kinds of different things going on with Merritt Oilerettes basketball. So, we'll talk to Coach Doherty here about 9:30. And we'll rehash what happened last night here off the top of the show here with the high school hoops from last evening. So that's kind of what we got basketball-centric today is before we get really kind of focused in on the NFL playoffs coming up the next couple of days. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got the radio. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. Check it out on thepennynews.com. It's the website through the app as well. Then the print edition of the Penny News start filtering out tonight for sure by tomorrow. You can go pick up a free copy of that Penny News. Big Elk and Paragon TV. Back on the air Friday, and then, of course, next week we'll have all kinds of tournament action at the end of the week as well on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from all over Oklahoma. Hey, I guess Monday. You start Monday.
Monday.
With the West Central all week.
But then Thursday, Friday, depending on results, yeah.
So it's going to be it'll be another week like it was last week with just wall-to-wall basketball, especially those last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday. Of course, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss it, you can find it anywhere podcasts drop. Hello, Jared. How was your night off?
I was channel surfing, watching a bunch of the games last night. Mainly stayed on yours. The girls' game was pretty good. Elk City Elkettes going toe-to-toe with the 13th ranked team out of Weatherford. Tell me about it.
Yeah, that was one of those, I don't know, litmus test or mm-hmm. kind of a game to see. It's the first time that the Brown and White had played a team they'd already played a team for the second time on the girls' side. The boys played Clinton in the Hinton tournament and turned that around from a 4-point loss to a 30-something point win. But for the Elkettes, that was the first game over in Weatherford. A tough environment there in the Eagle's Nest, and with a young team getting some of those girls their first varsity experience ever. It didn't go very well back on December 1st, especially early. I think they let Marley Teasley go nuts, in a little run there in the second quarter. She ended up having 29 that night, multiple three-pointers. Last night, you could see that Coach Hamm, definitely the focus of the defense was to keep the ball out of her hands. And if she did get it, have multiple people surrounding her, not let Marley Teasley beat you. And that's not what happened. There's no doubt that Marley Teasley did not beat the Elkettes. Only 11, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. So she only made 3 shots, and none come from behind the arc. So a fantastic job on her. I thought the difference in the game was Brinley Glassy and her ability to play with 4 fouls. She was the post player for Weatherford that scored 8 points, but that didn't tell you the story of what she did defensively, affecting shots at the rim, rebounding, keeping balls alive on the offensive glass, either grabbing it or being able to tip it around for extra possessions. I know Daniel and I talked about it, the entirety of the second half. She picked up 3 fouls in the first half, picked up her 4th foul with like 6 minutes to go. Weatherford was up 7 or 9, I think 7 maybe, when she went out. And to Coach Pratt's credit over there at Weatherford, the Elkettes came right back, and he put her back in with 2.5 to go in the third quarter. The Elkettes had trimmed the lead to 4 and had the ball.
Right. Saw that.
And she was able to play the final 10 minutes without fouling. He kind of went a little offense-defense there in the third quarter, having her in to play offense, and then if a foul occurred, he'd take her out. If the clock stopped, basically, mm-hmm. the ball went out of bounds, whatever, he would try to get her out on the defensive end, and then if he could, put her, insert her back into play offense. The Elkettes just never could get that 5th foul on her, and Weatherford was a completely different team with her on the floor versus without her on, because you could see a vast difference in the way the Elkettes were able to, especially offensive rebound, and especially Kaz Ulrich, the sophomore post player for Elk City. When Brinley Glassy wasn't in the game, she dominated the paint. So kudos to them. It's one of those games, and Coach Hamm said it afterwards, much better. You can see growth with the young team that the Elkettes have, and getting better, getting closer. Can't foul as much as they did. I mean, it's nearly impossible to win a game in which the opponent shoots 20 more free throws than you do. It's just really hard to win a game like that. You give up, let's see, Weatherford was what? Elk City was 11 of 14 from the free throw line, and Weatherford was what, 24 of 34? I think it's a 13-point difference in scoring, 20-point difference, or 20 free throws. That's just –
That'll do it.
You can't, and with the way that the fouls are, it's different, but it's similar, right? Mm-hmm. The only difference is you can make up for mistakes in the first or third quarter because it resets in the second or fourth. It doesn't drag on throughout the entirety of the half if you foul too much in one quarter, especially the first or the third. It doesn't hurt you in the other two, but it does if you continue to do it. And that's where the Elkettes it's just hard to win a game like that in which you can't give up that much of an advantage at the free throw line. But I thought defensively they were really good for the most part. Offensively, there wasn't similar to the Anadarko game, there weren't those longer periods of turnovers and kind of franticness as far as mm-hmm. giving away the ball. The problem is, though, last night, there were some timely turnovers at the wrong time. You know, have the ball down four with a couple minutes left and don't get a shot off. And one time I think even Weatherford got a layup on the other end with a steal and a score. And so there's just, you know, a couple of turnovers late, a couple of misses from kind of point blank range late that could have really put the screws and the pressure on Weatherford. The Hillcats just couldn't quite get it done. But, you know, better, obviously, than the first matchup. Just still a little bit off from being able to get what would be a kind of a signature win so far this season.
Well, I think the thing you're looking for is growth when you go up against a team for the second time in the season. You know, you hear that a lot about Chet Holmgren at the Thunder, where the second time or even third time he went up against Denver and Jokic and his how he learned from that. So from what I saw last night on Big Oak TV and from what you're telling me, I'm hearing growth with these young girls.
Yeah, and Abby Brown has taken her game to a level that we all anticipated it being by the time we get right here into the middle of her junior season. And, you know, there's still a couple of, you know, things here and there that you'd rather not see, you know, a turn, you know, just to kind of a – but she's trying to make plays. And, man, she has such an ability to get into the paint at her size – and be able to score in the paint. She can contort her body around in ways that you it's not normal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you see her go flying in there sometimes, and you think, what is she doing? And all of a sudden, the ball just kind of flips up off the glass and in, and you kind of got to run the replay to see where did that come from.
Yeah, I saw some of that too.
Like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
She made it. I'm not sure how it got on the glass there.
I mean, sometimes there's acquired skill, and then there's just skill you're born with, and so I think that's a lot of it too.
No doubt about it. The Hillcats just, man, they could not. I think Abby made 1-3. Maybe made 2 threes. I can't remember off the top of my head, but just two for each side. And there was times where, you know, in that third quarter, early fourth quarter, down two, you know, a three is in the air to take the lead, which the Pioneer Center is a great crowd on hand last night for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and just waiting to explode, right? I mean, you could just sense the energy ready to be unleashed, and the Hillcats just never could quite get over the hump, take the lead, and see what happened. In the boys' game, I mean, listen. Weatherford's number one for a reason, right? All you got to do is look at the box score, and it tells you what they are. CJ Nixon took three shots.
Wow.
He scored 5 points. Other than just being a monster out there, you wouldn't even know he's on the floor. And Weatherford won 75-36. Tate Sage was absolutely incredible, 25 in three quarters. 14 of those, I think, came in the third quarter. He made 5 threes. I honestly think only one of them hit the rim going in. The others was like he just dropped it from dead above the goal down in. I mean, it was just he was phenomenal. And that shows you what, you know, they had three guys in double figures. Tate was one of them that you would expect. But then Jackson Smith, sophomore point guard, he scores 13. Ben Tucker was one of their reserves. He hit 3 threes in the fourth quarter and had a layup for 11. I'm not anywhere near going to tell you that he will play meaningful minutes at any point in the season. I'm not saying that, but it just shows you the firepower that they've got outside of what you expect from Nixon. I mean, he did nothing. And Weatherford was still just completely dominant. Yeah. I mean, just completely dominant. The Elks defensively, I thought in the first half, really kind of held their own. Only 9 points in the first quarter for Weatherford. That's got to be nearing a season low, you would think, for the Eagles. The Elks played, you know, they played hard. It just eventually the skill, the size, the speed, the athleticism wears you down, and that's what happened. Yep. And that boys' game, and Weatherford comes up away with the win again, 75-36. So both teams lose. The Elkettes really had a chance to win that game, just unable to do it. Now focus on a trip down to Blanchard on Friday. And then awaiting the Washington tournament bracket, Coach Ham was kind of telling me the teams that will be in that.
Yeah.
Washington, Class 3A, number one in the girls' side. They'll be in that tournament. North Rock Creek, I think, is number two in 4A boys. Some Tecumseh, that kind of in that area.
That area there, yeah. That's
so
a good one.
That's what will be expected. Coach Ham didn't know. He thought maybe the 4 or 5 seed for the Elkettes, something like that. Hmm. with the different teams that he knew that were there, but still waiting to see exactly how that breaks down. So that's what's coming up for Elk City. Last night, I think, was there any real surprises in any of those games?
I don't think so. The one game I had an eye on outside of yours was the Arapahoe girls taking on Mountain View Godibo. Mountain View Godibo, top five team out of Class B. So seeing if, Arapahoe's young and they have, but they have talent. I mean, they got some young girls that are going to be really good for head coach Holt. But they lost by 10, and it really, I mean, Arapahoe gave it their best, but it wasn't really much of a game. So other than that, I mean, there wasn't a lot of shockers. Maybe at the end of the first quarter, I did switch it to this when I saw Hammond girls and CBA girls were tied 7-7 after one. Mm-hmm. And I've had my eye on Corum Bible Academy because they are the perennial homecoming game, right? And that they're no offense, Corum Bible, but it is what it is. But they've turned it around this year. They've gotten some solid wins. And at the time I looked at it, they were like 7-1. Now they've dropped a few since then. But they were going toe to toe with Hammond. It was 7-7 after the first quarter. But then Hammond said, "Nuh-uh," and turned it around and won it 48-17.
Yeah, only allowed 10 points in the last three quarters.
So, but that wasn't a shocker. So, there's a fun one. The Cheyenne boys and Eric boys went to overtime. Cheyenne got the 1-point win on that one. But everything else, I think, was as expected.
Yeah, and I warned everyone about leading in Visay on the boys' side. That's going to be a close game every time. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that one.
It doesn't matter how good either team is, what the rankings are for either. It absolutely doesn't make any difference because of that rivalry. It always is close, and sure enough, it was again last night. Leedy was able to get the win 62-57. Merritt swept Sayre easily in both games. Snyder and Hollis split. Cheyenne Raiden, man, those girls. I'm anxious to see what happens next week. They're going to be in that bi-county tournament. Let me pull up.
I'm anxious to see what happens Friday night.
What's that?
Canute travels to Cheyenne.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And that they're a young, young group, only three games above 500. But if you look at some of their losses, they're toe-to-toe with some good teams. Leedy. Hammond, I mean, they lost to them 57-44, but that was, if you go back and watch, it was not a bad game. So,
Was it Merritt that they played really, really, really
they
close?
They played Merritt really close, and that got us all looking around going, what's going on there? Well, that's Coach Doherty. Maybe he can give us some insight about Cheyenne. But Coach Carlson has a young team. They've played together for a long time, and the core of that team are a bunch of freshmen, I'm told. We need to get Rob on here. But they're play-by-play guy on Paragon TV. But, they're an interesting team. And I think some of those losses you could chalk up to youth, but they're growing and they're scoring points. They put up 82 points last night against Eric.
Yeah, 63-59 was that score. And they had a lead against Merritt at halftime, maybe even like a double-digit lead. If I remember just seeing the scores that night when everybody was texting them around. Yeah, four freshmen and a senior in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
For the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears.
And those freshmen, again, I'm just told this all from word of mouth, is that they've played together for, a lot of the travel stuff, summer stuff. And so they're really familiar with each other, and they're not scared of this varsity role. They've been in big games since they were little kids.
That's just an idea, and we'll talk with Jeff here in just a little bit about the bi-county tournament. But if you haven't seen the bracket, have you seen it yet?
No, is it out?
He sent it to me yesterday.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Number one seed, Class A. Number one ceiling, two-time defending state champion. Number two seed, with the way it looks like to me, wouldn't you think the bottom is number two? The very, very bottom?
Well, it'd be Merritt, right?
Merritt.
Yeah.
Hammond is third seed.
Oh, wow.
Class B, number three. So two defending state champions. And then the 4-5 game is the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears that we're talking about. 9-6. They've won five out of their last six. And they'll play Class A, number 13, Texoma. So four ranked teams and one of the hottest ones in Western Oklahoma in that girls' bracket. It's going to be fire,
man,
as the kids say. Or what do they say?
It's lit.
It's cap. What is cap?
I don't
mean?
Know what it is anymore.
You got any idea what cap is?
Not a clue.
I hear that word coming out of Wyatt's mouth right now. It's cap.
My 10-year-old's getting into those phrases. I just need to ask her. I have no clue. It's going to be good. Let's just keep it like that. It's going to be a good tournament.
Uh-oh. It's not Cap.
Is Cap bad?
Cap is bad.
Cap is bad.
I'm glad I asked this question to the text line, so now maybe I need to wash Wyatt's mouth out with soap like Ralphie on A Christmas Story.
Where'd you hear that word?
I'm glad.
We need an Urban Dictionary handy.
We have one handy right here on the text line.
On the text line.
And so high school hoops last night, like I said, just there wasn't a ton of surprises. You know, we're kind of in that – it's weird because you got the tournament week right out of Christmas break. It's pretty, like, intense. Then you get a little lull this week. You know, some teams are off. Some teams will be off on Tuesday of next week. You know what I mean? Just kind of getting the legs back, and then, boom, we're back to intensity.
Yeah.
And then just a couple of weeks away from the playoffs starting. February the 9th.
That's nuts.
And everything really gets – everything really gets flowing from there.
Yep.
With the high school basketball season ramping it up.
It is.
Oh yeah, bruh.
Nuts.
I haven't got a bruh yet, but there's a lot of bro.
Dude. Katie says dude a lot.
There's a lot of bro in my house.
My James, my littlest one, they played a tournament over in Altus, and I guess the ball went out of bounds, and an opposing player yelled at her, "Go get the ball, bro." And she asked me the other night, "Dad, what's bro mean?" So, what are you talking about? She told me. I don't know. I don't know. That girl yelled at me, called me bro.
Bro. Lots of bro. Lots of bro in my life. There's no doubt about that. So, what's coming up? Let's see. Let's take a look coming up on Friday. You mentioned Canute and Cheyenne Raiden. That'll be a good one, without any doubt.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got here? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I'm waiting for the slow internet.
I know that's
to get on our time here. I got the circle there. Okay.
Arapahoe Calumet.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Well, the names are fun.
The names are fun. Yeah, girls should win that one pretty easily. Let's see, Corn Bible at Eric. We got, of course, Canute, Cheyenne, Arapahoe Calumet. Calumet Ceilings at Hammond on Friday.
That's right. I knew there was a huge one, and that's what it is: Ceiling and Hammond.
Could be, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen in that bike county, but could that be a finals preview? Apache at Hollis. We got Merritt at Burns Flat. And that's it. And are you on?
Yeah, we're at Blanchard.
Blanchard, that's right. You said that. Which, by the way, Blanchard boys lost last night. See that?
Who beat them?
No, I'm sorry. It was Bethany boys. Okay. Bethany boys lost. Their first loss, though, to Tuttle.
Yeah, Blanchard 9-3. Their class 4A number 9. They beat Chickasha pretty easily. They got some. I remember a lot of their team is going to be back. Ross Johnston, big guy that played on the offensive line on their state championship mm-hmm. winning football team. He is a load inside that can move really well. They've kind of got a good mix down there on the basketball floor. Elkatso, they ought to have a chance to win. I think Blanchard lost to Chickasha last night, if I'm not mistaken. And that's one of those kind of bottom of the conference type games.
They did 41-29.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They're going to do head coach. Coach Schneeberger is no longer there. And so.
Now that's a winnable game for the Elkettes.
Did the stud basketball player from Newcastle transfer? I think so. Carl Sean Young. Here's the deal. I know his brother did. Because Carlavion Young played football for Carl Albert when they came out here.
Where'd he go?
Carl Sean?
Yeah.
Now, that's a great question.
Douglas?
Oh, man. You know, I had a question last night with Coach Roof going to Kingfisher.
Yeah, that's right.
I wondered if there was any chance that his daughter, that'd be a pretty quick move for her to leave Weatherford to go to Kingfisher at least for the rest of the year. But it is possible. Yeah. Douglas.
Wow. Douglas is recruiting.
Carl Sean went to Douglas, too.
Goodness. News to me. We'll have to look that one up.
That'd be good. Watch them play Weatherford. All right. If we get any wild questions for Coach Doherty, it'll come from his son-in-law, who's just blowing up the text line. Hanging out here in studio, joined by Merritt Oilerettes head coach Jeff Doherty. Coach, how's it going?
It's going well.
I want you to tell us about the Bertha Frateague Classic. What was that experience like? Such a prestigious tournament in girls basketball in the state of Oklahoma. How did you enjoy that, and your girls enjoy that trip down to Ada?
Well, I think they enjoyed it. You know, we went down there to play, you know, really good teams, and we got to do that. So the thing I don't like about it, you know, it takes away the kids' Christmas break. And but overall, I think it was a really good experience for us. We got to play three really good teams, and I think it'll help us come playoff time. You know, when you go into that, you worry about, you know, when you're playing the 4A, 5As, you know, are we physical enough, or, you know, just different things. And you know, we answered some questions, and so I think it was a good deal. I think the kids enjoyed it and everything.
Do you think it helps with being, you know, going to Ada and everybody else kind of off at the time, getting other schools, maybe other coaches on the other side of the state to actually see your team play? And maybe there's some benefits of that in the rankings coming up here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, Coach Smith there at Dale, he was there every day, and he put us one. But then Coach Savage at Stratford watched us all 3 days, and he put us one. But that doesn't mean anything. You gotta go play when it counts.
Those environments are obviously, like you said, it's big for the girls to get in that environment in that time of season and get used to that. You don't have to wear those. Those are yeah, we really need to throw those headphones away.
Don't even give the option.
Back to my question: does it change how you coach in a game like that? Like you mentioned, going up against, you know, you went up against Carl Loward. I mean, it's not a 2-way team, obviously. Does it change how you approach a game and how you coach? And then does that, I mean, obviously it helps your girls come playoff time. Does it help you playoff time?
No, I mean, we're going to do what we do. We didn't play very good. We didn't shoot the ball very good, and we had a hard time blocking them out. But I think we'd have a hard time blocking them out every night. They're just so quick. The physicalness, you know, which I was really pleased with, didn't really bother us at all. And so, you know, all three games, we might have been the most physical team, and which is, you know, it's huge. And you know, we've worked at that. So that's really gotten better over the last 3 or 4 years. And you just got to execute and make shots. And if you don't, you're going to get beat. So, but it was good for us.
How does that process work as far as getting selected to go down there and play in that tournament?
It's by invite. And we got invited back all last year about this time, I think. And we committed to it. And, you know, we've been invited back next year. And I don't know. I'm going to talk to our parents and see if they want to go back down there. And the kids do. But we need to check with them. Because it is a commitment.
You talk to the parent. We just get with my little kids anyways. We're going to this tournament on the text. There's no asking us. They just do it.
Well, it's, you know, we've all got to get along, and I don't want them too mad at me. So,
have your girls used what happened at the end of last year as fuel and as motivation so far, or at least going into this season, to not let that, you know, the end happen again this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think they learned something. I learned something. You know, you just gotta you've got to play as a team, and you got to have good leadership, and we didn't do either one of those towards the end of the year. So you know, yeah, I think they learned something.
Like specifically just more the teamwork, or is there something specific that you think they might have learned?
Well, I knew what was going on and didn't address it. Those and that's kind of out of my character, but I was told that I didn't need to. We'll handle it, and I should have addressed it and didn't. So I learned something.
You know, through the course of what, 3 months, 3.5 months, you have to get along to be able to perform on the floor, don't you think?
Yes, you do. And that's the thing. These kids, they like each other, and they get along with each other, and they play for each other. And you know, we're not going to worry about points and who starts and who doesn't, and we're just going to go play and do what's best for the team. And that's the big thing. These kids this year are really really team-oriented, and when somebody has a big night, they're excited for them, not jealous. So that's been really, really enjoyable to coach.
Okay. Point out some kids, though. Who's been playing really well for you this year? Maybe who stepped up into that leadership role for you this year?
Well, we've had several kids play well in different games. We've got, five or six kids that can really go score. And then we've got some others that are going to be able to, just not quite ready yet. But we've had two or three score over 30 different kids. And we've had, I don't know, four or so score over 20.
I remember one of those nights.
Yeah. had a front row seat for
yes,
that
I
one.
Did. Yes, I yeah. did. I was impressed.
And you know what's funny? And I told the kids yesterday, I believe, that there was a game we played against somebody that wasn't very good, and we were ahead 70-something to 10 or something. And she told me, she said, I hadn't scored. Coach put me back in. This is in fourth quarter. So I did. I put her back in, and then she has a wide open shot, and somebody else has a better one, and she passes it.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Just the unselfishness, and Chloe, she's that kid, and just about the team, and that's what it takes. It's got to be all of them, one goal, one focus, not worry about me, and they've done that pretty well for the most part.
What's it like having Taylor on the bench?
Oh, it's good. It's good. Her and Jennifer both are just tremendous help. I haven't done any laundry this year, so and they're really good with the girls and kind of keep me calmed down a little bit, or try to. So, but it's been really good. They're a big help on scouting and just everything we do.
Yeah, could there be a time, late in the game where you draw a play up and she says, no, Dad, let's run this other one?
No.
the Bi-County tournament coming up next week. Man, what a field. You look at two defending champs in Class A and Class B with Sealing and Hammond. You guys obviously in the top five in 2A. Texoma's ranked in Class A. And then also Cheyenne, a young Cheyenne team kind of really getting things kicked up after the break. How do you attract that type of field for that tournament each and every year?
Yeah, well, basketball out here in Western Oklahoma is just really good. We've got a lot of good coaches and different towns. It's important to these communities and everybody, we all have our little runs but Hammond's really good. Sealing's just phenomenal. And then Texoma's really, really good. And, Cheyenne's young and they're getting better every day. So there'll be some good teams that'll come away with two losses in that thing. And I just hope it's not us.
Go ahead. So.
What about, we've been kind of bantering around as we get closer to the playoffs. And with the different changes in the rules and the new ways that are the brackets going to be drawn up, is there really a chance that your boys and your girls could be separated, like say in a district or a regional? Is that really possible?
I haven't heard that, but I don't know. I would hope not, but.
Well, I'd hope not for what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already had to make that choice on a boys or a girls game at Childers.
Yeah,
that,
I
that
don't know.
You can't
know.
Make
they,
that choice.
They sure come up with some things that may look good on paper, but, when you come down to it, what's best for each community and each school and the kids, and sometimes that gets overlooked.
Yeah, I know. I saw just last week in Hinton, the same school was in two different classes, boys and girls. It was a private school. They, the boys were in 4A and the girls were in 3A. And I was like, golly, how does that work for the nightmare of logistics on the administration side has to be just a joke.
Yeah, it would be tough.
What's an area of your team that's been better this season than maybe you thought it might be going in?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. We've improved in all areas. We're obviously better on offense. Defensively, we've been really solid. I don't know, just our chemistry But, you know, everything's – I mean, we need to improve on everything. You know, we talk about possessions and you know, every possession's just really, really important. And, you know, like last night we come out in the third quarter, I think, and had 11 possessions and scored on the first 10 of them. And so, you know, just you just got to make those important and the rebounding, you know, how important, you know, you can go to the offensive board 10 times in a row and you may not get any of them, but that one you get, it's real important, and you just got to keep doing it. And these kids, they're just really good kids and work hard and try to do what they're supposed to do and have fun at it. So it's been, you know, but as far as there's really hasn't been a surprise, really. I told them, you know, we started the summer off not playing very well, and you know, I kept telling them, you're going to be quite a bit better than you were last year, and I don't think they believed me for a while. And then towards the end we got to playing pretty well, and then they kind of started believing it. And so anyway, we'll see. We've got a lot of improvement left, and just got to keep working at it.
If there is like one area that you'd like to really see improvement in and kind of take off between now and in the middle of February when the playoffs starts, what's that?
Oh, probably our half court offense, just execute, you know, just execution. And we have gotten better. We've quit pressing quite as much. And, you know, we just got so much off of that. And then you get on an NBA court up there at Enid, and, you know, it's 10 foot wider, mm-hmm. and I don't know how much longer, but, you know, the spacing, it's just harder to cover. And I don't think we did a very good job last year, so I kind of was determined to back off of the press, so that, you know, just not rely on it as much. And we've gotten better. You know, we just been a lot of games we hadn't pressed at all. So, but you always got to keep it there in case you need it.
I've been meaning to ask, and I haven't asked a coach this question, and I'm glad you're here so we can ask it. Is the fact that this is the final year in the Big House a motivating factor for you to get back there for one last time in that historic arena?
Yeah, no, not really.
Come on, give me something.
I'm not a – I don't know. I don't care. I just
– Just get there.
Just get there, yeah.
As the changes in the foul rules from quarter to quarter, have you seen that? How have you seen that kind of affect maybe the way the game is played, the flow of the game, or even some of the decisions that you make when it comes to maybe pressing or not pressing in a certain situation?
Yeah, that I didn't know how if I'd like it or, you know, what effect did it have, but I kind of like it. There's less free throw shot, so I probably like it better. But as far as, you know, we're just going to adapt and go. So, last night we got five fouls pretty quick and then got out of the press and then started pressing a little bit in the second quarter. So, you can do some things like that.
It seems like in game or end of game from the close games that I've seen, coaches have been a little bit more reluctant to just kind of start fouling earlier because it's two instead of maybe getting a break with a missing on the first end, the front end of 1-1.
Yeah, we really haven't played any other than one game that was really close or didn't have the lead. So I don't know. I mean, if you got a foul, you got a foul. It doesn't, you know, and generally by the end of the game when it was 1-1, it was usually two shots
anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
So moving ahead. Your Oilerettes, 2A number 5, how much do you think it helps you if you are able to get in that top 4 for when the brackets come out? Is it a ton, or maybe kind of you're going to have to play somebody tough anyhow?
You're going to have to play somebody tough anyway, but it does – it could help you, you know. But the bottom line – you know, it could separate you from the Riversides and Dales and some of those people. But as far as – you know, you'd be guaranteed not to have one of them in your area. But as far, you know, there's probably, oh gosh, there's probably 25 teams that could, 20 to 25 and 2A that could make the state tournament. And you know, we found that out the last 2 years. You know, we were, I don't know what we were ranked the year before, but, you know, we beat beat some really good teams that were ranked ahead of us to get there. And then last year, you know, those 10 or 12s that are ranked, they beat us. So it's just, you just got to go play, and you got to go play well.
Is that, I saw Riverside this last weekend, and they play a style that's hard to combat with getting up and down the floor. Mm-hmm. Is Dale and Eric, and are they kind of the favorite and everybody else, or do you think there's some people that are on their tier?
I think they're probably the best team, but there's some teams that can beat them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Riverside's really good. You know, they got a lot of size and quickness, and so there's several teams that are really good. It's just going to be whoever goes up there and plays well and has a little bit of luck and you know, shoots the ball well.
Well, final question for me. I remember when you took over this job, this position, we all kind of thought, well, he's just doing it until someone else is hired. Well, and how many years has it been now?
I don't know.
So we ask you every time you come in, we ask you how long. If you keep winning, they're not going to let you step away from this.
Oh, they'd let me. They, you know, that was the plan. And then the next year, COVID hit, mm-hmm. and you know, it was late when our coach left and couldn't find anybody. So I told him I'd do it for a year, and then I was interviewing people for it, and COVID hit, so I do it again, save some money. And then, you know, I've enjoyed it, so I just told them I'd do it as long as they wanted me to. So here I am.
Are you still enjoying it?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, when you got good kids, it's a lot of fun. When you don't have all the drama, you know, and the parents are super, I mean, we don't have parent meetings, and you know, it's real enjoyable. So.
Well, fantastic. Congratulations so far in the season. Been awesome. The birth of Frank Teague, I think, really opened some eyes around the state of just how good you guys are and can be. And looking forward to next week and seeing the Bi-County results. And, of course, good luck at the playoffs when that gets here. I'm sure we'll talk to you again before we get all the way through this season.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Appreciate everything you do.
Absolutely. Thank you. Head coach Jeff Doherty, Merritt Oilerettes, rolling through the Class 2A season so far. 13-1.
I tell you what, I didn't need to see them at the birth of Frank Teague to know how good they were, or they are. They're good.
I wondered if one of those votes was from Eric because he can't vote for his own team as number one.
Yeah, I think so.
Appreciate head coach Jeff Doherty.
Yeah,
coming in, talking Merritt Oilerette basketball. He's got a different. Well, he's got kind of a different energy.
It's like he knows something we don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And we know they're good.
Yeah. That's what I mean, though. It's a little. Yeah.
It's going to be real, real fun to watch them as this season goes on. And I think there's something there when they get the playoffs. He might physically take a schedule and crumple it up and throw it in the corner and go, none of those games matter. This mm-hmm. matters. Remember last year? Yeah. Yeah, look out, 2A.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's in his back pocket as we get into the playoffs and even down the line mm-hmm. in the playoffs, that he can always kind of pull out of his back pocket whatever he needs. It like, hey, job's not finished yet.
Right.
Everybody can just look back at a year ago and he can figure that out pretty quickly. So, yeah, they're
solid.
They're darn good. There's no doubt about it. I can't wait to see. Man, Friday, I'll tell you what time it starts. Friday at 3:20 will be the first semifinal in the Bi-County next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Next Friday.
Next Friday. That could be Sealing Texoma or Sealing Cheyenne. No offense, Duke. Sealing's going to win. And then 6 o'clock, that could be Hammond Merritt. And remember, speaking of motivation, Hammond's got it there, right? Didn't Merritt beat him 3 times a year ago?
Yeah. It's like they had Hammond figured out.
So that could be a good one. Question, where's the Bi-County? It's at Merritt. It's at Merritt next week.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Personal text line or?
Yes. Oh, Dylan. That is funny. And no, we cannot talk about that.
Okay.
We cannot talk about that.
By the way,
that's an off-the-air topic.
Before we had Coach on, we were asking about where Carlshon.
Yeah,
Young,
Midwest City,
not Douglas, but Midwest City.
So his brother is at playing football at Carl Albert. He's at Midwest City. Very good. All right, Thunder tonight down in Miami. Let's play the Heat. Last of a four-game Eastern Conference road stretch. Man, this is you talked about this part of the schedule even when the good times were rolling back a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. You know, four games on the road here in an eight-day stretch, couple at home, then they play seven out of eight on the road after that. So this January schedule for the Oklahoma City Thunder, while maybe not the same quality of teams that we saw in that stretch, you know, maybe the 10 games right around the Christmas and New Year's holiday, you know, teams probably better, but the situations are a lot tougher in this stretch with a lot of road games back, you know, kind of stacked up in there. You know, back-to-back in L.A. coming up next week, the first of next week. That's not really travel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're going to be there, but playing the Lakers and the Clippers. You know, then you go to Minnesota again, get another Wimby and Chet down in San Antonio, New Orleans playing pretty good. Then you come back home with Minnesota and Denver in back-to-back games Monday the 29th and Wednesday the 31st to finish out January. At 24-11 right now, ahead of what most people thought win total wise. I mean, right, they're on a pace to just smash the Vegas win total to start the season. It was like, what, 40 and a half or something like that? 42 and a half. It was in the low 40. It was like just around 500. You know, they're 13 games above that. You know, as far as the seeding and the kind of putting your best foot forward through the first half of the schedule here in the next 10 or so, I think this stretch will kind of start to tell the tale of exactly where Oklahoma City can kind of end up in the Western Conference. Obviously, barring big-time injuries, that's always a caveat in the NBA that you can't control any of that, right? I mean, it either happens or it doesn't, and there's nothing you can do about it. But this will be a very, very important stretch to kind of go through the rigors of the road trip, because you know, you look, there's four, two at home, then four more, so 8 out of 10, and that actually turns into 11 out of 14 on the road.
Yeah, that's why I circled January. You know, and I was hoping that the end of December with those big wins would springboard them into a solid January, and it still can't be. I mean, we're still 10 days in, so. And they're, you know, and those losses that came to Brooklyn and Atlanta, the Atlanta thing was the travel. And I mean, I have to keep telling myself, these guys are still barely old enough, some not even old enough to drink, right? Drink legally. These are young guys, and this is the NBA. So there's still some getting used to. There's still some, what am I trying to say? They're getting used to those rigors of these games and back-to-backs and travel and all this stuff. But doesn't take away the fact that they're a really good team. And we'll see how they navigate this January schedule and where they can be as we get closer to the All-Star break. And, you know, and then it might help us answer, you know, do they or will they make a move towards the end of the trade deadline? I think it's All-Star break first, then trade deadline. Or is it the other way? I can't remember. That picture become more and more clear. If there are some obvious struggles,
I think it's right before the All-Star break.
Yeah. So we'll see. But there are some tough games. Didn't you talk about the West Coast trip, back to back against the LAs and then Utah, and then go up to Minnesota. I mean, that's a four game stretch right there that is tough. Tough.
Yeah, so the 8th, February 8th is the trade deadline, and then the All-Star weekend is the week of Valentine's Day, that weekend after. So it's like the 13th is a Tuesday.
So it's all right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the week leading into – it's the week before the All-Star break starts is the NBA trade deadline on February the 8th, which, you know, it's past the halfway point. Once we get to All-Star break, you know, it's more of a – what, instead of 41, it's like 50 or so games. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not as, it's kind of a, it's a more of a race to the finish after the All-Star break than what we see maybe in any of the, in, you know, in baseball or what have you. But yeah, it's been a great start, and I still, you know, thinking back to preseason and kind of the idea of what I thought the Thunder could be or should be or might be, I'll still maintain, I think this is a team that the goal and the realistic goal is to not be a play-in team, finish somewhere in the top six, mm-hmm. and a marker that says they're ahead of schedule would be if they not only did that but hosted a first-round playoff series, somehow got into the top four. They're there right now. It's going to be tough to kind of maintain that. You know, there's some – but it's interesting, though, if you look at the standings, there's a couple of teams, Oklahoma City being one, and also Minnesota, that aren't necessarily used to being there, right? You know, they're kind of up-and-coming teams, but they haven't – they this versions of Minnesota and Oklahoma City haven't been through those, you know, March, early April battles to solidify playoff spots or solidify the top spot in the West or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look back, Denver, the Clippers, you know, Kings did it last year. Can they, you know, repeat that success? The Pelicans are sort of in the same boat as Oklahoma City and Minnesota. And then after that, the teams that you thought were going to be good haven't been. Phoenix. The heck is going on at Phoenix? 19-18. You know, the Lakers are struggling. They got a win last night, and they shot like 24 free throws to two in the fourth quarter to beat Toronto by one.
Raptors head coach was not happy about
and,
that.
No, and shouldn't have been.
No.
And then a team that – we might finally be seeing the end, and that's Golden State. Golden State, 17-19, and that's not just a blip on the radar screen. That's a trend. I mean, that's five games short of halfway, and they're two games below 500. So, are they the odd man out of this?
You know, they're a team come trade deadline you want to watch. What direction do they go in? What if that continues? Do they blow it up, or do they try to fix it?
Yeah, that's. Very interesting.
And when trying to fix it, I mean, what do they have that is attractive to get another?
Young guys that are mad?
Yeah, but
Kuminga,
I mean,
Moses Moody,
yeah.
Those type of guys.
So you got to give that up if they're trying to fix it. You give that up. It's interesting what's going to happen with Golden State.
Chris Paul.
Come on. He's got
who saw it coming, but he's injured.
He's got a
yeah, he's out 4 to 6
he
weeks.
He wants to go out with grace, but man, did that window close? Does he just need to say it's it?
You know, this
after the Phoenix run.
To me, it never was a fit because he wants to play really slow and they want to play fast. Mm-hmm. But maybe for the second unit, yeah, Kuminga, a young guy that's clearly frustrated, even called out Steve Kerr in the media over the weekend. Moses Moody's another guy. You know, these guys are just in their second or third year in the league and they've never really gotten a chance to blossom because. Golden State's been in win-the-championship mode, and Steve Kerr is obviously one of those coaches that would rather play veterans than he would young guys. Mm. He trusts them more. I mean, and well, there's certain guys like that. There's certain guys that not.
It's hard to argue with that, but based on past success, but you've got – I mean, evolve or die. He has to
– Yeah, but you can't his point is we're not winning the title with Kuminga and Moody. We're winning the title with Steph and Clay. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And eventually those guys –
But I think there could be a healthy marriage of that, a healthy balance of that.
Sometimes. Sometimes there is, and sometimes it just never works. And it doesn't even feel like he's given it a chance to work in a lot of ways.
That's the problem. That is the problem.
That team is old. 35. Steph is 35. Clay's 33. Holds Draymond. Where's he at? 33. Chris Paul's 38. You know who's older than I realized on that team? Gary Payton's 31. Like, Gary Payton's 31 and Andrew Wiggins is 28. I'd have flipped those in my mind. Mm. Just probably because we've known about Andrew Wiggins forever, even back to his KU days. That surprises me that he's still only 28.
Help me remember. I remember when Davidson came to Norman, and mm-hmm. it was Curry versus Griffin,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of star power in the stands for that one. Were they in the same draft class or were they a year apart?
Same.
Let that blow your mind. I mean, Blake Griffin is pretty much done. I don't even know if he's playing right now. He hasn't officially retired. He's probably waiting around for someone to pick him up for a postseason run.
Yeah, definitely same.
And I know his position is totally different what Curry was. I
mean, yeah, his game is different.
Yeah. But still, that feels like a long time ago, that draft class.
2009.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
A long time ago. Yeah, Curry's no spring chicken anymore.
Yeah, it's just the difference in there. And here's the deal. Curry had been – that was his fourth year at Davidson.
Wow. That's right.
Griffin's second. Yeah, so Blake Griffin's younger than Steph Curry. Doesn't necessarily look like it. But, like you said,
well,
different.
Well, he looked 30 in his second year at Norman. He was a man.
Yeah, he's 34. Steph, 35.
Yeah. Yeah, watch Golden State. For me anyways, no one's saying this. I'm not hearing this. The big heads talking. I'm not hearing anything like this. But I wonder, are they going to still be in that championship win-now mode come trade deadline time, or are they going to finally concede and say, we got to blow this up?
There's no way they're conceding. They can't. And they can't. They don't.
Who do they go
what
after?
What do they do?
What do they do?
If
anything.
If they could package a couple of those guys that are unhappy, you know, a Moody, a Kuminga, and something for, like, say, Siakam. And if that helps. I mean, eventually the run is done. And, you know, those guys have had one heck of a run. When you think about in the era of the super team, sure, they added Durant for a couple, but they also won on their own. Those three guys that were all homegrown, drafted in various stages of the NBA draft with Curry and Clay and Draymond. It's pretty amazing what they've accomplished, especially over the last decade.
Yeah.
And you think about Curry's career and how lucky Golden State got with the way he started. Nobody really remembers anymore that about 2 years in,
he got hurt.
Everyone was afraid that he was made of glass.
Right.
Those ankles, he couldn't. I mean, it was over and over. And because of those injuries, he wasn't able to show what he really was. And he signs a 4-year, $40 million deal for his second deal. He should have been making that. Well, maybe not back then, you know. But you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's and how fortunate that ends up being for Golden State later on down the line to start adding what they were able to add, Durant specifically, and how crazy that all worked out. I mean, because. You know, you think of Steph Curry now as the greatest shooter of all time and one of the best players of all time and, you know, all that. And in about 2010, 2011, 2012, you weren't even sure if Steph Curry was going to be able to play in the NBA because of his ankles.
Right. I would how cool would this be if, like, 20 years from now we find out that there is a film crew following this season of Golden State and are already ready for The Last Dance 2? I mean, that would be documentary gold with the Draymond drama and his suspensions. And is this the last go at it for the Golden State Warriors? You got Steve Kerr's be on both of them. And
I hope it's last year so we can really get the full Draymond punching Jordan Poole stuff.
Oh, sure. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. And not that grainy video either.
Yeah. What really happened?
Yeah.
Still waiting on the 30 for 30 from the Thunder. What was it really like? You know who would be awesome?
It won't come out until they're all retired. Who's that? What's that?
In that scenario, you know who is going to be awesome if the Thunder make a 30 for 30?
Steven Adams.
Well, he'll be awesome. Yeah. I didn't think about him, but the one that will absolutely
tell. He wasn't really a part of this, but
they will tell the truth. Perk.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Perk will tell the truth about everything that happened, and he doesn't give a darn whose feelings it hurts.
No. No, he will unload.
And then hopefully Scott Brooks will step up to the mic and go, I have no idea what I was doing playing Perk in the finals against Miami. I literally cost us a title by playing Perk. Here's another Thunder note.
I want to see the film crew that followed Harden in Miami. I want to see that footage.
You know, if there's ever a time we need to look at the schedule where the Clippers go from, like, Atlanta to Miami, You know, Atlanta with the Magic City Wings, Miami with the Nightlife. Go ahead and take the under on Jim's on Jim's scoring.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy Harden, take the under.
Yeah.
Like, say they fly into Atlanta, have a night to spend, and then play the next night. They go straight to South Beach. Yeah. Hey, 23 centers have taken 75 threes this season in the NBA. Only one is shooting 40% or better from three. You know who that is?
Chet.
Chet Holmgren. Thanks to Coach Doherty at Merritt. Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.